comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I know that there are a million other things that you could be doing. You chose to be doing this, and I appreciate it. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Don't forget, we have a free weekly newsletter. It's called The K-Files. You just go over to my website, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, but most people stay with us forever. And it's absolutely free. You need to be getting it. Also, we need you to stand with us. We need you to support this show if you like it. Now, we're not asking you to give us thousands of dollars. We're asking you to become one of our members. $7.50 a month. A month. Not $7.50 a day, $7.50 a week. $7.50 a month. That comes out to 25 cents a day. It probably won't mean much to you. You probably won't miss it. But it can and very well may make the difference in whether we get to keep broadcasting. Stand with us. You'll enjoy what you get in the members community. I promise you, it is way more than $7.50 a month value. Way, way more. Over in East Texas, strange things in the sky. If you travel southeast of Temple, Texas, northeast from Austin, and northwest from College Station, where all those lines converge, you will come to Milam County. Cameron is the county seat, I believe. And there's a new video out there on YouTube that supposedly was filmed at nighttime over a ranch in Milam County in East Texas. Very, very strange, strange looking object in the sky. It is, by definition, a UFO. That does not mean that it's extraterrestrial, but it could be. It could be some new kind of drone that's out there. Very strange looking thing. It's got strobes all over it. It's strobing all over the thing. And it's basically, it looks like it's in the shape of a cross. Just, or a plus sign. A very, very strange thing. And it's got people talking, really, in Milam County, but also all over the Internet now, because that's out there. And you might want to chase that down over at YouTube, because it's, I think, worth watching. And if you happen to be a member, then you can click on the UFO news link, and it's one of the stories, and the video is linked in the story. Not in KSS News. Go to the members community, click on the UFO news link where it says news, and then it's got a link that says UFO. That's your clue. Click there, and you'll find that story. Very, very strange, and I don't think I've seen one quite like that before, but, you know, we're living in new days. All right, we are going to take a break, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. You know, there are tons and tons and tons of people that are in the so-called UFO community, and you've heard me challenge, as you know, whether or not there really is such a thing as the UFO community. But I guess I'll use the term, because we have to have some way to sort of put everybody in one basket and talk about everybody at once. So the UFO community, there are tons and tons and tons of people, and a lot of them are researchers, a lot of them are writers. Some of the researchers are writers, some of the researchers' writers are investigators, but as we keep going with this description, fewer and fewer people qualify. Our guest tonight is a researcher, writer, investigator, speaker, thinker, and it's really a privilege to have him with us. He has been with us before, and it's always a privilege to have him with us. But let me welcome back to the show Dr. Kevin Randall. Dr. Randall, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Given that build-up, I thought maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. I'm not sure I can live up to it.
Well, I think you can. In fact, I think you have already. If you were to just quit right now, you've already lived up to it. Let me tell people kind of what I've got on my mind here and why I wanted to talk with you about all of this. Folks, you've heard me say, more than once you've heard me say, that it's really gotten to a point, and it has been there for a long time, but it's just intensified, where in this UFO community, there are a lot of people that are looking at this precisely as a religion. They will tell you they're not, but their actions, their speech, their attitudes, everything about it is as if it's a religion. And you know, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, how I battle the battle between belief and knowing. And you know that you've heard me say over and over, it's not about belief. It doesn't matter. Look, if a UFO that's 4 miles in diameter lands in your front yard and you stand there and say, I don't believe it, that doesn't change the fact. On the other hand, if a Cessna 152 lands in your front yard and you're standing there saying, I believe it's a UFO, that doesn't change it into a UFO. Belief has no impact whatsoever on the facts and on the truth. Belief has no impact on it. It is what it is, what it is. And the task is to try and discover what it is. That's pretty simple to say. It's pretty hard to do. But Kevin Randall has spent many years doing just that. Now, he comes to some conclusions that a lot of people rally to and say, man, that's right. And other people say, oh, he's all wet. That's normal. That is healthy. That means that he's coming to some conclusions, he's putting forth some theories or hypotheses that are causing people to think and causing people to react. And some think he's right, some think he's wrong. That's okay. At least for now, we still have freedom of thought and some freedom of speech. And it's okay to have differing opinions, but he is definitely an investigator and a thinker and a very prolific writer. How many books have you published on the subject of UFOs, Kevin?
Oh, you're going to limit it to UFOs. I did 22, 23, something in there.
On the screen on our TV channel, people are seeing just some of the book covers. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is less than half, if you're watching. That's less than half of the books that Dr. Randall has written and published about UFOs. And you are, as a matter of fact, quite capable as an investigator. You, if I'm not mistaken, in the military, you were an intelligence officer, were you not?
I had several different jobs in the military. I started out as a helicopter pilot. When I got into the Air Force and the Air Force Reserve, I became, well, when I first got in the Air Force, I was a public affairs officer, but then became an intelligence officer. When I went back into the Army, I was an intelligence officer, and I ended up my career as in the military police as the deputy provost marshal for the state of Iowa.
Okay, so you've got the background and the experience where we can say you are a professional investigator. And you have applied those kinds of skills to gathering the information and investigating UFO cases and writing about them. Now, I have said, as you heard, that there are a lot of people that have sort of turned all of this into a religion. Now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to react to that. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but the floor is yours. What do you think about that?
Many years ago, when I was just starting out as a writer and doing just magazine stuff as opposed to books, I did an article for one of the UFO magazines in the mid-1950s, or I'm sorry, 1970s, that was called The UFO Religion. And compared it to the belief structures that you see in religion, that there are many people who don't require evidence for their belief. They take it as a matter of faith. And that if you challenge that belief, they become irate. Even if you challenge it with facts, figures, and evidence, they don't want to hear about it. They want to continue to believe what they want to believe. It's a matter of faith for them. So, yeah, in the UFO field, there is a matter of some people, not everybody, but some people who take it as a religion, and it's based solely on their belief that there's extraterrestrials and they're visiting the Earth.
In addition to that, I agree with that. In addition to that, there are people who are applying heavy doses of belief to lots and lots and lots of things that they can't prove. Now, what I'm about to say, I want everybody to listen carefully. What I am about to say is going to make some people really irate. But if you listen to what I say and don't read into it what you want me to have said, then maybe you won't be irate. And I'm using this example because, in a way, it applies to me too. Here's a good example. Zechariah Sitchin. Now, Zechariah Sitchin, I give the man his dues. He wrote some books and really made an impact with his books and, told us about things that if he hadn't written about, we wouldn't know about. But here's the deal. You see, I don't read Sumerian, so I cannot verify whether his translations are accurate or not. But there are people who say, who will quote Zechariah Sitchin almost like Christians quote the Apostle Paul. And the point is, if you don't read Sumerian, how do you know that he translated that correctly? And how do you know that his interpretations of what he translated are correct interpretations? You don't. Now, I'm in that boat. I don't read Sumerian. And so when we talk about Sumerian, I have to kind of take it that Zechariah Sitchin, here's what he said. But I don't believe that he's correct. I don't disbelieve. I say I don't know. It's very interesting. I've read the books. It's very interesting, and it seems to be very compelling at points. But if you don't read Sumerian, you don't know.
Well,
but people have gotten real religious about Zechariah Sitchin.
Would be Eric von Däniken. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I started going to college, his books were very, very popular. And I was studying anthropology and archaeology, so I had an opportunity to compare what von Däniken was saying about the ancient works that he was talking about and what the archaeological evidence showed. And I'm thinking that what we need to do is apply some critical thinking to this, not accept what the standard archaeologists tell us is, because it is opposed to what von Däniken is telling us, but we don't believe him either. We compare the evidence and see where it goes, what it suggests to us. And in my reading of von Däniken and my understanding of the archaeological evidence that he cites, he is off base. He's missed the boat. And we are postulating that ancient astronauts come to Earth and the only building materials they can find to help our ancestors is stone. Well, you can't build a spaceship out of stone. You have to have some knowledge of metallurgy, and I would think that sort of knowledge would have been communicated to the ancient Egyptians or whomever they helped. But we don't see that sort of thing. So I look at all of that, and I try to say, okay, does this make sense to me based on what I know and what I've observed and what I've been able to read? So it's sort of the same thing you're saying. I don't accept von Däniken not because I don't read Sumerian, but I don't accept von Däniken because I can look at the evidence he presented and say, you know, I believe he's got it skewed. I don't believe he's right on what he's saying there.
Yeah. Now, you know, being a talk show host, I always think like the devil's advocate and then ask questions like the devil's advocate. What about the possibility? Because, look, if I traveled to another planet and I found a bunch of primitives over there, I landed in my spaceship, and I'm watching them, you know, try to sleep in the grass at night, and I say, look, I'm going to help these people. So I teach them how to build some buildings out of what's available for them, but I'm never going to teach them how to build my spaceship.
And by teaching them some basic metallurgy, you're not teaching them how to build a spaceship.
Well, maybe, yeah,
maybe. And you're giving them tools. The metal tools will be much better for them than the primitive tools they're using now to carve the stones out of the blocks out of the stone. So yeah, the metallurgy just makes sense to me. But you look at all of the evidence and you say, you know, there really is no evidence that there was a great leap forward by the ancient peoples. There was nothing that would suggest communication with extraterrestrials. There's nothing that requires communication with extraterrestrials for them to do what they did.
And yet, you think that there are extraterrestrials, do you not?
My belief, based on the evidence I've seen, based on the research I've done, is that we have been visited. We have not been visited with anywhere near the numbers that the UFO community postulates today. But I believe that we have been visited any number of times. And I think you take a look at the history, and if you want to go back to the beginning of the modern era, which almost everybody says it's the Kenneth Arnold sighting on June 24th, 1947, I'm thinking maybe we need to go on back a little bit further than that because of the Foo Fighters from World War II. And Keith Chester did a wonderful book called Strange Company, where he looked at the idea that there had been visitation, or that the Foo Fighters were something more than just the bulbs of light that the pilots reported. And he came up with some very interesting information to suggest that this really was the first of the modern waves of UFOs. And he's talking about structured craft as opposed to just balls of light. But when you look at all of this stuff, you have to look at the evidence, and you have to decide what the evidence means to you. I always look at it from the point of view as what do I think, what do I know, and what can I prove? And when we look at it that way, there's a lot of stuff that we think about UFOs. There's less stuff that we actually know about them, and even less that we can prove. But when you look at the proof, to me, the proof suggests extraterrestrial visitation.
Okay. And yet, you know, you're saying, yes, extraterrestrial visitation has happened. No, I don't think that they came and taught the ancients how to build these big buildings with stone. And as a result of that, there are people who, that challenges some people's beliefs. And it angers and upsets some people. And so there are people that go on the internet and say, Kevin Randall is a disinformation operative. How do you handle that?
I ignore it. It's not worth even worrying about. I think anybody who has been around the UFO field for any length of time and has expressed any sort of an opinion about it is going to be labeled as a disinformation agent. Somebody once said that they knew that I had worked for Project Blue Book in Hector, Quintanilla. Well, Blue Book was closed in December of 1969, and in 1969, I had just returned from Vietnam, and I was still in the Army. There's no way that I could have been working with Hector Quintanilla. I was 20 years old at the time. I got out of college. I got out of high school. I went directly into the Army. I went to flight school, and directly from flight school, I went to Vietnam. There was no time, but people said that, so I just ignore that sort of thing because it's not important. I've been accused of being MJ on the MJ-12 committee, for crying out loud, and I would say to people, there is no such thing as MJ-12, and anger them that way and say, well, you'd have to say that. So I just ignore that sort of stuff because it's not that important.
Well. And this is the point. I mean, you have some opinions and conclusions that I totally agree with. You have written some that I raise an eyebrow and say, well, I don't know about that. Have to think about that. But that doesn't keep me from wanting to know what you've got to say. I mean, if you say something that challenges what I thought was right, I actually appreciate that you've challenged it. Now I got something to examine and something to investigate and do a little research on and see where I stand. But there are people that get really upset about that.
The last time I was in Roswell was for the festival just last year. And I had to been explaining about this fellow who came forward and claimed to have been an Air Force officer for any number of years, had been involved in crash retrieval south of the Mexican border, and I had my research on the guy and couldn't find any evidence for what he said was true. I learned that he had been a member of the Civil Air Patrol, which is an Air Force auxiliary, but it's not the same as the Air Force Reserve as he was claiming. Mm-hmm. And I explained exactly what I'd gone through to verify this guy's story, and I was unable to verify any of it. And to me, this proved that the story wasn't true. But some guy at one of my lectures wanted to argue for 30 minutes, 45 minutes about this. And he would say things, well, if we could come up with documentation, as Joe Jones, I said, you can't come up with any documentation. It's ridiculous to argue this way. If you've got something, show it to me. You don't have it because I've already looked in all the places where this would be.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue this right after this break.
Listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Dr. Kevin Randall this evening, and I have titled tonight's show UFOs, the Religion and the Reality. There's a big, big difference, and it's so important because, you know, the more of the religion of UFOs that people are involved in, the more targets you're giving lamestream media to ridicule. And by just sticking with the data, just go where the data goes, go where the facts go, you take away their ability to ridicule. You take away, well, they'll still do it, but you take away any basis for it. Dr. Randall, you were saying as we went to break about this person that was arguing with you and saying, well, if we could come up with documentation here, documentation there, and you were saying, look, I've already searched everywhere you can find documentation, and it's not there. How did this turn out?
He wanted to argue speculation. He wanted to argue possibilities, and I was saying, here's the facts. And he wasn't going to listen, no matter what I said. He would say, well, you know, if I had this document, and I said, but you can't get that document because I've searched there, and if the documents existed, I would have them already. There's no place to go. There comes a point where you have to say, this guy isn't telling us the truth, and move on. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to believe the guy's story so badly, he wasn't willing to look at the evidence or look at anything else that we could present. He just wanted to argue, and it may have been just he wanted to argue. And later on, he would come by my table and try to start the argument, but I just refused to participate in it at that point.
Oh, my. Persistence.
Yes, yes. The point simply is, if you've got the facts, if you know what you're talking about and you present them and somebody won't even entertain the possibility you're right, then there's no point in talking to them anymore.
Yeah, enough's enough. Look, there's a story going around out there right now, and it overlaps into the conspiracist community and the UFO community. And both of those communities do have some intersections because there are people who are firmly believe that the government is covering up some stuff. And, of course, what I say is, of course they do. You pay them to. You know, that's what classified documents are. It's a cover. The story that's going around is that all of this evil cabal that has been foisting the New World Order upon us, there are about to be, and in fact now they're saying it has already begun, mass arrests of these cabal, these members of the cabal. And I've been saying on my Facebook page, I've said it on the air, I've said it in articles, I've said it in forums, nonsense. If such a cabal exists, the very people who have to arrest them work for them. It's not going to happen. And yet, because I've said that, I've had people saying, you know, Kevin Smith is a disinformer. And look, I've been international police. I know how arrests work at very upper levels. Okay, if you sometimes you have somebody that's a big high muckety muck that needs to be arrested. I know how this works. You don't just walk out on the street and arrest the guy. I mean, there's a whole lot of paperwork that has to be done before that's authorized, before you get authorizations called a warrant. And before you can get that warrant, there's a whole bunch of investigation and paperwork. And then it's iffy as to whether it's going to pass political muster. Now, you might say, well, it shouldn't be political. Maybe it shouldn't be, but when you're arresting a political person, it is. And so, is it going to pass political muster? Is the warrant going to be issued? And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. There's not going to be any mass arrest of this so-called evil cabal. At least, thus saith the Kevin. But I've been called a disinformer for telling people how it works.
And I've run into the same thing in the UFO field. You tell someone how classified information works. It's not the way you see it on television. It's not the way Hollywood portrays it. There's
That's
a different
right.
way it works. But they don't want to hear that. And I tell people, part of my job as an intelligence officer was to destroy classified material. It was out-of-date material, and you know this as well as I do. It was out-of-date material. It was material that was no longer useful. It had been replaced by something else. And there's a way that you go about destroying that classified information. And part of it is you have to, secret and above, you had to document exactly what you destroyed so that if somebody comes back to you later and says, what happened to this document, you can say, I destroyed that on such and such a date. Mm-hmm. And yet people don't want to hear that. They want to hear about, well, something was classified 28 points above top secret. What in the hell does that mean? I tell them, I said, yeah, you've got top secret, and then you've got sort of lateral things going on, like top secret code word, and you can append one or two code words or three code words afterwards. So you could, I guess, legitimately say, well, this is classified 2 or 3 points above top secret, even though it's not quite the same thing. But they talk about all these classified classifications that nobody knows about. Well, if they're classified, how do you know about them? And what documentation do you have to prove that they exist?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes giving the straight information, maybe still doesn't have all the answers people are looking for. And so they're not satisfied with it. They want certain answers, and those answers may not be available to anybody. But you give straight information about how things work, and that doesn't fit with the things they've imagined in their minds. Now, let me give you one example. I read an article. It was talking about these banks. You know, it was all about this cabal thing I was talking about. And this article is talking about banks, and it says warrants have already been issued against these banks. Folks, warrants are not issued against institutions. A search warrant might be, but an arrest warrant has to be issued against a person because it's a demand to bring the body of that person to court. That's what a warrant is. Okay? And so you can't issue a warrant to arrest a bank. Doesn't happen. And but, you know, anyway, the point is, you know, Kevin and I have been talking about this and just giving you some examples of kind of how this religion has grown up, this religious fervor and belief has grown up in the UFO community. And, folks, it's fiction. It's all based on fiction. But there is reality about UFOs. They do exist. Now, some of those UFOs might be super top, ultra secret, black project aircraft of some type. Some of them might be extraterrestrial. But the operative word is might be. We don't know. I don't have the clearance to know. So if I'm looking at this thing in the sky that does not look like an airplane, does not look like a standard aircraft of any kind I know, and yet there it sits and is making no noise. To me, it's unidentified. It's flying. It's a real object. I can take a picture of it. That's a UFO. Kevin, do you agree or disagree with that?
To an extent, and here's why. I mean, we have to define our definitions, and a UFO is an unidentified flying object. In the UFO community, it also means alien spacecraft, so you have to eliminate all the possible terrestrial explanations before you move it to UFO. I think the better term is flying saucer, because when you say flying saucer, you know you're talking about an alien spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of the coin is, you know, we talk about the conspiracy to cover stuff up, and I was working on my book on conspiracies, which is due to the publisher in 4 or 5 days, and I was looking at the stuff on Project Moondust, and here is something that we can prove existed because we have the documentation from the State Department. And yet when a United States senator went to the Air Force and said, can you tell me about Moondust, they said there's no such project. And once the documentation was presented, the Air Force came back and said, we'd like to amend our last statement. There was a Project Moondust, but we never used it. Well, we can prove it was used. So that's kind of the other side of the coin, that we have documentation to show this conspiracy was there to hide the information that had already been released into the public arena. Now, I can understand, I mean, as an intelligence officer, I know that even though you might know something, if I've learned it through classified sources, I cannot corroborate that. I have to pretend that I don't know what it is because you are not authorized to know it and you learned it through another source. My sources were classified. But so you can understand the guy saying that, but it was a United States senator. And the guy that said that, well, there was no such project maybe truly didn't believe there was a project because it was a classified project. But once the documentation was presented, then they had to come back and admit, well, you know, it really did exist. So it was a conspiracy to hide Project Moondust from a United States senator, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, what was Project Moondust? We have less than 3 minutes before break. Got about 2.5 minutes. Briefly, what was Project Moondust?
It was sort of a follow-on to Project Blue Book. What Moondust was an attempt to recover returning space debris of foreign manufacturer unknown origin. Well, that could mean Soviet bloc satellites, Soviet bloc missiles, Soviet bloc aircraft, but foreign manufacturer unknown origin also could mean alien material built on another planet. And Moondust covered all of that stuff. But in the Moondust definitions, the Moondust documents, they lay out what a UFO is, and a UFO is a foreign manufacturer. So they've got it covered so Moondust could investigate UFOs.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've read your book on that. And quite an interesting situation. The reason I say it's quite an interesting situation is because it basically does document, as you said, that UFOs, as far as the Air Force was concerned, are a reality. Without them coming out and saying it, I mean, they've got a project to recover.
It's a reality. It's a reality without admitting that they're extraterrestrial in origin.
Yeah.
But what is important is every time the Air Force changed the project, you know, it started out, they told the public they were starting Project Saucer, but it wasn't truly Project Sign to investigate UFOs. Then they said, well, we've finished our investigation, we've closed Project Sign, but that wasn't true. They merely changed the name to Project Grudge and kept on going. Mm-hmm. Then they said, well, we finished our investigation, Project Grudge is closed, but that wasn't true because they just changed the name and continued on as Project Blue Book. So you've got this series of different investigations that they said didn't exist or that had ended, and it just simply wasn't the truth.
All right, we're going to step away for break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Dr. Kevin Randall. Folks, nobody here is saying that UFOs, flying saucers, extraterrestrials are not real. What we're saying is that there are a lot of people saying a lot of things in the UFO community and claiming to be part of the UFO community that are spreading a whole lot of fertilizer about UFOs, extraterrestrials, flying saucers. And, you know, we need to sort the fertilizer from the vegetables here. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Dr. Kevin Randall. And Dr. Randall, we have been talking about this whole issue of religion. We're not talking about Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about UFOism. We're talking about UFO religion, religionists within the UFO community, dealing with UFO topics and information as you would deal with religion. And I have said, and I'll get angry email about this, but that's okay. I have said, and I'll say again, that all that stuff is based on fiction, folks. It's fiction. And there are things that are real about UFOs that we ought to focus on. Let's talk about some of those, Dr. Randall. What's something real about UFOs that we can bite into?
I like to say that we had an opportunity back in 1957 to kind of prove everything we wanted about UFOs, about flying saucers. This was a case in Levelland, Texas in November. There were people at 13 separate locations, at least people at 13 separate locations, who saw the object. It stalled car engines. It dimmed headlights. It caused radios to fade out. There is an indication that there was a burned area left. There were law enforcement involved. There were military people involved. There were farmers involved. There were college students involved. I mean, it's a wide spectrum of people who were involved in this thing. If we had not been so busy arguing about the reality of UFOs, if we'd been interested in discovering what they were, we might have gotten a bunch of answers out of this case. But the UFO community was busy arguing with the Air Force about the reality of UFOs, and the Air Force was so busy arguing with the UFO community that nobody bothered to investigate it in any detail. The Air Force spent almost an entire day investigating this case, and they found three witnesses and claimed there were no others. And in the Air Force mind, if you didn't talk to them, if you weren't interviewed by them, then you didn't exist as a witness and you didn't count. The UFO community, of course, didn't have the resources to send a lot of people to Levelland to talk about the UFO sightings. So a lot of opportunities to gather data, both eyewitness testimony, the interaction with the environment by the UFO, and the landing traces, all went by the wayside. So we're still arguing today about the reality of UFOs, and yet here was a case that, had it been done properly in 1957, we might have been able to answer a lot of our questions.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of that, and it is still going on, and I say all the time that the question of whether UFOs are real is a dead question. That's 40 years behind the curve here. That, you know, if you're still arguing over whether UFOs are real, well, you know, you're living in the 1950s. You're 50 years behind the curve. That's a done deal. That's a dead argument.
I was about to say, well, the 50s isn't a bad place to reside, but then I'm sitting here with my iPad, watching my cable TV, doing a radio interview over the telephone, thinking about if somebody wanted to buy one of my books, all they got to do is go to Amazon Kindle and they can have it in 2 minutes. Maybe the 50s isn't a good place to reside, but you're absolutely right. The question really isn't if UFOs are real. It's, are they extraterrestrial, and can we prove that? I think we can. So that moves us into another arena. But you get into why are they here? Are they benevolent? Are they a threat to our society, that sort of thing. But you're absolutely right. Some of the basic questions are 50 years out of date.
Yeah, and what floors me is the mushroom media is still acting like that's a live debate. It's not a live debate. There's no question that UFOs are real.
I think it's worse than that. And there were these two guys in New Jersey who were launching flares with balloons as an experiment to prove that UFO investigators were very credulous and witnesses couldn't describe what they'd seen. And when you look at the stories, of course, the witnesses were describing precisely what they had seen, and the UFO investigators said almost immediately, these are balloons, this has nothing to do with UFOs. But the news media, you've got the news media asking questions, what do you think, aliens are here? Who said a word about aliens? We're talking about lights in the sky, for crying out loud. We're talking about what balloons. And some of the witnesses identified them as balloons. You had one reporter talking to a little kid with her lollipop, and she says, you think the aliens are here? This isn't news media reporting. This is just fluff to prove that we're too sophisticated to believe in aliens from outer space.
Mm. Well, and you used the operative word many times in describing how the news media handled this? Do you believe? Do you believe? They, you know, the news media almost never ask anybody, what do you think? They will ask, how do you feel about that? What's your sense of this, they will say. What do you believe? And all of those are irrelevant. You know, if you ask me, well, what's your sense of Kevin Randall? That's an entirely different question from what do you think about Kevin Randall? And they never get into what do people think. It's all about how you feel. It's all fuzzy. It's all subjective and relative. They don't
and they're not really looking for evidence. They already know what they believe, mm-hmm. and they're like I said, they're too sophisticated to believe there's aliens from outer space. So they're going to make fun of the people who have seen something, or they're going to treat it as a nonsense story and not look beyond that and say maybe there's something here we ought to take a serious look at.
Absolutely. But as long as they can keep shifting gears into believe, feel, sense, as long as they can keep shifting gears that way, they can make it appear like they want it to appear. But once you get into what do you think, what do you know, what did you see, now we're dealing with facts, now we're dealing with data, now we're dealing with something that's more hardcore. And they can't bend that quite so easily. You said you think we can prove that some UFOs are extraterrestrial. How?
By examining the evidence. And I'm thinking of, for example, Ted Phillips has investigated some 4,000 or 5,000 landing trace cases. And what I find interesting about that is, if he examines the landing trace, he can tell you what kind of craft was associated with it. And that suggests to me that, you know, there's a predictive element to it. And when you start talking about the craft, you know, somebody sees a craft land and it leaves this specific landing trace and then it takes off in a way that is not possible by our aircraft, then you move into a technology that is beyond our capability, and that suggests something off the Earth, something that came to Earth. And you look at radar cases, and so now you're examining the UFOs through instrumentality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a certain amount of interpretation about what the radar returns are like and how they present themselves. But it's also much more sophisticated than that, much more reliable than that. So now you're talking about craft that are moving at speeds beyond anything, especially 40, 50 years ago, that was capable by our aircraft. And so when you look at those sorts of things and some of the photographic evidence, and I'm thinking of the McMinnville sighting in 1950, where you've got a disc-shaped object. It's clearly disc-shaped. It's clearly in the air. If it's not a hoax, then that's an object that was not made on Earth. And there's only two conclusions you can draw about that sighting. It's either a hoax or it's a flying saucer, a craft from another world. There's no in-between. There's no mirage. There's no mistaking it. There's no misinterpretation. It's either an alien spacecraft or it's a hoax. And when you take a look at the witnesses, then you move away from the hoax aspect of it, and you can take a look at the physicality of the photograph and make some measurements from that.
All right, so we have evidence that we can look at and that we can evaluate, and from the evidence we can come to the conclusion that some of these are extraterrestrial. And that would explain something the Air Force is up to. And it's absolutely an astounding thing that the Air Force is up to. And we'll talk about it when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking this evening with Dr. Kevin Randall, one of the most prolific writers in the field of UFOs. And we will return right after this. We'll be right back. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and my sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. We are talking this evening with Dr. Kevin Randall. Dr. Kevin Randall is one of the most prolific UFO researchers, investigators, authors, speakers in the UFO field. And, of course, he does not write only about UFOs. He writes about a great many different topics, but he is one of the most prolific within the UFO field. And as we went away for break, Dr. Randall, I was saying that there is something the Air Force has done that indicates to me they have a very strong opinion that UFOs are both real and extraterrestrial. And first let me check, because folks, during the break we changed phone lines for a technical reason. Dr. Randall, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
And I still have the echo.
I will try to adjust that out as we go along here.
But may I correct one thing you've said?
Sure.
And that is the idea that I am one of the most prolific book writers about UFOs. I believe I am the most prolific. I hold the title. I think Brad Steiger comes in second. He and I have talked about this, and I think I have him beat by one book. So I want the title of the most prolific UFO writer.
All right, you've got it. Toyota. Okay, but...
what do you call me?
Okay, the most prolific writer in the UFO field, Dr. Kevin Randall. Now, the U.S. Air Force planned for a very long time, did a lot of research, and then developed what is called the Space-Based Space Surveillance System. And this Space-Based Space Surveillance System is up. It's not, all of its components are not up, but they've begun launching, and there are pieces of it up there. It's 10 satellites, and some of the satellites are up. Now, the stated purpose of this space-based space surveillance system, it's not a space-based Earth surveillance, it's space-based space surveillance. And one of the stated purposes of it is to identify, and I'm quoting, identify and track deep space forces for both offensive and defensive operations. And I have asked, deep space forces? Who's out there? So they obviously know somebody's out there, or at least they certainly think somebody's out there and coming this way. So, you know, I think that's pretty stout evidence that they take UFOs seriously. What do you think?
There's no question they take them seriously, and the Air Force, the purpose of the Air Force is to defend the skies over the United States. If you've got alien spacecraft flying through our atmosphere, then the Air Force is failing in its mission to stop those sorts of things. So I think they take it very seriously, but they don't want the public to know this, because then they get bogged down in answering a lot of questions, and I get emails and letters from people all the time that say, can you send me all your information about UFOs? How many file cabinets worth of information would you like? How am I supposed to get this information to you, and what sort of compensation are you going to make for my time and the cost of duplicating this material for you? So, you know, I can understand the Air Force not wanting to have to answer all these questions continuously, and if people don't believe they will answer them, then it makes their job that much simpler.
Mm-hmm. But what about this space?
The Air Force knows there's something going on, and the Air Force is doing what it can behind the scenes to make sure that other people don't know what is going on.
Well, what about this space-based space surveillance system and the statement that its purpose, one of its purposes, its primary purpose, is to identify and track deep space forces for both offensive and defensive operations. Does that not indicate somebody's out there?
It would suggest it, certainly. I wonder if they might be talking about Earth-crossing asteroids, which could cause a great deal of trouble to the Earth if one of them hit. But then you don't talk about forces. You talk about asteroids, and you make sure you talk about asteroids so people don't draw the wrong conclusion. And I think at this point, the only person who's gone into any deep, sort of deep space, the only country that's put anything into any deep space, is the United States landing people on the moon. But I really don't think that is deep space either. I'm thinking of deep space once you get outside the confines of the solar system. So I don't know.
Well, I think they define it as beyond Saturn. Everything beyond Saturn.
Then I don't know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they suspect somebody will be coming in from outside. And are they just looking in the ecliptic plane, or are they looking all around the Earth? Because
I think when they get the whole system up, they'll be looking all around the Earth, because it'll be 10 satellites out there.
You know, because the universe extends into infinity in all directions around the Earth. So even though we often think of looking out through the solar system in the plane of the ecliptic, if you look from the South Pole directly overhead, you're looking into deep space there, as in the opposite direction if you're standing at the North Pole looking into deep space.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's quite interesting. Most of everything there is to know about that system, of course, would be classified, but its existence is not. And that statement was published that, you know, its mission is to identify and track deep space forces for both offensive and defensive operations. So, I've said that redefines the question, guess who's coming to dinner? Okay, let's go to our telephone lines. And folks, if you would like to join the conversation, we want you to. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use that telephone number. If you're outside the USA or outside of Canada, you may also have an additional option, and that is the flash message. You can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and there's a link right above the picture that says flash message, so you can use that. While you're there, you can also click that picture, and it'll take you to Kevin Randall's blog. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington State.
Hello, Ryan.
Kevin Randall, don't you think that the Arthur Exxon is the key to the whole Roswell crash, the smoking gun? Have you ever published the audio recordings, the interview you've done with Arthur Exxon? And if not, is there any chance you can publish them somewhere on the internet?
We have published transcripts of the interviews with Arthur Exxon. I have not created the files to put them on the internet, simply because I haven't done that. And I've been looking at doing some of that sort of thing, and with audio or videotape as well, to put some of it up on YouTube. Exxon is important, but I'm not sure that he's the only one that is important. I think of Jesse Marcel Sr., of course, being very important, Patrick Saunders being very important. Robert Hastings had interviewed Chester Lytle, who was a good friend of Butch Blanchard. And Blanchard, of course, was the commander. We didn't have a chance to talk to Blanchard, but Blanchard told Lytle, because of who he was and what Lytle had done, Lytle, during the Manhattan Project, had helped develop the atomic trigger. So he had all kinds of security clearances. Blanchard told him at one point that there had been four aliens recovered in the Roswell crash. So, I mean, that's important information as well. So there's a lot of that information, and I have transcripts, and we've published those, and I have the audio tapes and videotapes of people like Bill Brazel, for example, the son of the man that found the craft. Judd Roberts, that's actually up on YouTube, talking about how their radio station was threatened with being shut down if they broadcast their interview with Mac Brazel. So there's a lot of important components to the Roswell case, and in the books that I've done over the years, I've tried to publish all the relevant parts of the discussion. Sometimes we go off into tangents that were kind of irrelevant and which were of no real interest to anybody other than me and the person I'm talking to. But we've tried to publish all the relevant information, so it's all out there. But I can understand wanting to hear the voice of the guy actually saying these sorts of things. And so once I get this book done that's due the 1st of June, I'll look into getting some of that stuff up out on the Internet.
One more thing real quick. Are you familiar with Paul Richard Price, his dad, who was involved in the Roswell recovery?
No, I don't know. I don't know. There's so many people involved in this thing, I sometimes lose track of them. Give me a hint.
At his dad's home. Were you aware of that? That there possibly could be some original Roswell foil, bendable foil metal that is still...
Yes. And we're trying to get additional information. I do remember that story now. Something was in the basement or hidden away in the basement, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's some things that we're trying to do. Tom, Carrie, Don Schmidt, and I have put together something of a team to reevaluate a lot of the Roswell evidence. We're working with David Rudiak, Chris Rakowski in Canada, and a couple of other people trying to reevaluate and clarify and corroborate some of the information. So we're looking into some of that stuff.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much for the call. Excellent questions. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We have a flash message. Let's see. This is from Mark in New Zealand. Mark, this is very long. I'm only going to be able to read part of it, but it's the part I think you would want me to read. And here it is. The elite's playbook has not changed over many, many millennia. Nearly all phenomena related to UFOs and the subsequent presentation of manipulation... Nearly all phenomena related to UFOs and the subsequent presentation and manipulation of information in the public domain conforms to a modus operandi that is succinctly explained by the Latin phrase Deus ex machina, God out of the machine. Okay, what's your response to that?
When we start looking at ancient astronauts, I guess for the lack of a better term, or ancient sightings, we run into the problem of our ancestors not understanding the natural world around them. And we begin to interpret what they have said from our perspective. And oftentimes our perspective may be incorrect. I mean, a fiery shield could mean some kind of a craft seen by our ancient ancestors. But it could also mean a meteor, a bolide, something that they did not completely understand. So we have to be careful when we're looking at the writings or the interpretations of drawings and paintings from our ancestors, and putting our modern interpretations on them. So sometimes we just have to be careful with that. I look at the UFO phenomenon beginning actually much closer to our time, and as I said earlier, you know, I looked at the Foo Fighters maybe the real beginning of the modern era, and then we can talk about the ghost rockets from Sweden in 1946, and then of course the Arnold sighting beginning everything in 1947. So I look at it from that perspective, that we've got a solid base of information from that period forward. And when we look back in the ancient world, where we're running into problems of interpretation. And actually, I discussed this and out-of-place artifacts and that sort of thing in the book that I have to send off here in a couple of days.
Okay, to the telephone caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
You started off with the idea of the religion of UFOs, and I'm going to suggest that it permeates almost every level, because a lot of people on almost every level refuse to consider the possibility they may be wrong.
That is true, but it goes beyond that. It goes to the point of not thinking, but believing, and believing so hard that they come to believe they are thinking.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm starting out with the average Joe on the street who, like you say, believes so hard he doesn't want to face it, he thinks he's thinking. Some of the researchers, and I hate to say this, I'm not accusing anyone, but some of them are so convinced they're right that they refuse to look at other possibilities. Then you've got the military side. They believe that what they're doing is right, and they refuse to consider the possibility they may be wrong by excluding the public. And you've got the military-industrial complex. They think they're right. It's more than just a religion. If it is a religion, it's a world religion. It permeates
every level. You're describing the whole context of the UFO phenomenon. What I am attacking is one piece of it, our piece.
Okay. Well, the one thing that strikes me is, you know, I talk about the extraterrestrial, meaning from other planets, nuts and bolts. But when you're talking about UFOs, you can't really rule out the idea it might be interdimensional. It might be completely delusional. It might be time travelers from our far future. But I think of those as being highly unlikely. The most likely explanation seems to be nuts and bolts extraterrestrial. But there are other possibilities, and we have to look at all of that so that we understand exactly what is happening.
It's like I say, keep an open mind, but be skeptical.
Yeah.
But don't keep your mind so open your brain falls out.
Yeah, that's true. I look at it this way. You've got to look at the evidence and then weigh it, measure it, and then take a stand. But you've got to be open to the possibility you may be wrong.
Absolutely. But I always look at it, what do we think, what do we know, and what can we prove? And
yeah,
as you move up the chain, it becomes a smaller and smaller number.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there's not only should you keep your mind open to the possibility that you could be wrong, you have to keep your mind open enough to be able to say, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with getting to the end of the data and saying, I don't know. There's just not enough data. We have to do more investigation. And it's at that point, thank you for the call, Brent. It's at that point, Dr. Randall, where religion takes over, the religion of UFOs. It's at that point where that happens. You get to the end of the data, there's still a blank that people feel compelled to fill in with something. And so instead of just saying, well, I don't know, they fill it in with their speculation and their belief. And then they defend that as though it's actual knowledge.
And they don't want to listen to contrary evidence.
Yeah.
They only want you to reinforce their belief structure.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you a question, what is your opinion about blah, 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 and you give them that opinion, and then they want to argue with you about it. But they wanted your opinion. They did, if you wanted me to reinforce what you said or what you believe, let me know that, and I'll see what I can do about it. But if you want to know what my opinion is, this is my opinion. Right or wrong, it's my opinion. I'll look at the evidence if you have something to present me and see if I'm right or wrong. But don't ask me my opinion and then argue it from a point of view that you don't accept that as the truth. It's, you have nothing to prove me wrong. You just want to argue with me about it.
Yeah. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. And Kevin, this is Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Kevin Smith, you blew off at in the beginning as far as religion in UFO type stuff.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean I blew off?
I would like to bring it back to that because the simple fact is, I think Enoch and Zechariah Sitchin pretty much had it.
Okay,
right.
Terry. What you need to do, Terry, you need to turn your radio down. We can hear us.
Okay, is that better?
I will know in a minute. Okay, well, first of all, what do you mean I blew off?
Well, you said earlier, about Christianity and Buddhism and all that. Different kind of religion. We're not talking about that.
That's
right.
We're
talking about UFOs.
Right.
Okay. But I want to bring it back to that's exactly what it is. Because what do UFOs do? I mean, what exactly do they do?
They fly around.
They observe. And and what action do they take? None. In action, you see them. In earthquakes, you see them above volcanoes. You see them in our nuclear sites. Shutting them down.
Okay, so what's your point, Terry?
I mean, they're overlooking the planet.
Okay, so what's your point?
My point is, that's exactly what they are.
What?
And even though they could be, angelic, I think we're angelic, we have a soul and,
okay, now, Terry. You said that's exactly what they are, and I'm saying, what? What are they?
Well, they're pretty much, there's angelic, like
okay, now how do you know that?
Angels and stuff like that.
How do you know that?
That are with God and have supernatural powers, but yet there's people like us. I think we are angelic.
Okay,
with
Terry.
A soul,
Terry.
And,
Terry.
And stuff
take a
like
breath,
that.
Terry. Terry, it's okay to say that's what you think, but how do you know that? What evidence do you have? Hang on, we'll come back to you after this break. We'll be back right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Dr. Kevin Randall, on the telephone with us, Terry from Ohio. Terry, you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. See, it's okay. I'm not saying that you can't have beliefs. I'm saying that you have to be able to distinguish between what is a belief and what is a fact. So do you have evidence that shows that these are angelic?
I have just as much fact as your belief that there is UFOs.
No, you haven't presented it. They are there. You and I are looking at a UFO. It's there. I'm not standing there looking at it and saying, now that's evidence that it's angelic. It's evidence that it's there. So if you're looking at it...
I've never seen one, but let's say that they, you know, that you do have proof of that. I have proof that that we have a long line of religion, and Zechariah Sitchin is the cradle of humanity, came, you know, from Iraq or Ru.
Well, see, that's the point, though, Terry. I have a lot of respect for the work of Zechariah Sitchin, and I've quoted him here on this show. While he was living, I tried to get him as a guest on this show, but they said that he was, because of his age and health, had given up doing radio interviews. So I'm not knocking Zechariah Sitchin. I'm identifying the fact. The fact is, he says that he can read, he said he could read Sumerian, and he translated some Sumerian tablets. Do you read Sumerian? I don't. Therefore, you and I, if we don't read Sumerian, are in the position of having to either believe that he's accurate, and we're doing that totally on faith, we don't know that he's accurate because we don't read it. And what I'm saying is, in order for us to be able to actually investigate what's real, we have to identify the difference between what is a belief and then what is a fact. Now, if a UFO is up in the sky and you're seeing it and I'm seeing it and I hold a camera up and I snap a picture and the camera sees it, it's there.
Okay.
But then,
if it's there, do you know who's operating it?
No, and I make no claims about who's operating it.
So it could be people like us or angelic type being from another planet.
Or it could be a lizard from the desert of Arizona, for all we know. We don't know.
Okay, so, but my conclusion is just as good as yours, right?
I don't have, well, no.
Instead of just being a crazy alien?
No, I'm not making a conclusion. That's the point. I'm not filling in the blank with a speculation. I'm saying it's there. I know it's there. But what is it? Who's driving it? I don't know.
Well, the proof I have is all these ancient creations or civilizations that used to be here, like the pyramids and all the rest of them, that we cannot make today, which I would bring in the catapult.
Okay, you're going to have to make your point, because I'm going to have to move on now because we're running out of time.
I am making a point.
Okay, go ahead and make it.
I just did.
Well, the point, though, is that there is a qualitative difference between knowing and believing. There's nothing wrong with believing, and that's what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with believing, as long as you understand it's a belief and not a fact. It may turn out with investigation that what you're believing is a fact. Okay, it may turn out that that's exactly correct. On the other hand, it might turn out to be not an angel driving that thing, but maybe a lizard.
I'm not talking about an angel, but...
Well, you were.
Well, I said there's angels, but yet there's angelic beings. I believe we are angelic beings.
Well, that's a belief. And that's okay, as long as you understand that believing is not the same thing as knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference.
And you believe there's UFOs?
I don't believe it. I know it. I've seen them, just like I've seen doorknobs.
my, you know, you've seen it, but, you know, there's not one anywhere for everybody else to see or believe.
Well, that's your problem. Your problem is to go see one, and once you do, then you'll say, like I say, I've seen them. I know they exist. It's just like doorknobs. I've seen doorknobs. And, you know, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen...
Terry,
I'm not going to get into arguments here. Have you ever seen East Timor?
No.
I have. So there's no question about it. There's no belief to it. I lived there. I worked there. Have you ever been to or seen Paris, France?
No.
Okay, but there's a lot of people who have been there, and their testimony about the fact that it is there is accepted. It's widespread testimony. There's pictures of the Eiffel Tower, but, you know, maybe that's a hoax.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
And I believe you. And well,
there's
I
no belief.
That there is UFOs.
Yeah, but the difference, we're going to have to cut this off and give other people a chance. The difference in what you're saying and what I'm saying is that I differentiate between belief and knowing. And not only do I differentiate between them, I differentiate between the quality of the evidence. Belief is belief. It's faith. Knowing is based on facts and evidence. And there are some things that we have facts and evidence on, some things we don't. Belief is okay as long as we understand it is belief and it's not knowing. But I do have to run. Terry, I thank you for the call. 623-444-5889. Kevin, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. 623-444-5889. Join the conversation. Folks, there's belief and there's knowing. There's sugar and there's salt. They look very similar. They taste very different. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, you're still with us.
John, calling from San Diego.
Okay, John, turn your radio down so that we don't hear it.
444-5889.
Okay, shoot me off.
Okay, you're on the air. John, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, sir, I do. And the comment I have for the guest is that the last 23 years I've been trying to figure out what is it all about when it comes to mass abductions. I know you heard of this before, and I hear other abductions, like maybe when it comes to like, two or three people, and they disappear for a while. But what happens when it comes to like a whole bunch of people, like 300, maybe a little bit more? What does follow up on that? Does the military know anything at all when it comes to mass abductions? Or is it just another psychological game that everybody plays on the people that gets hurt?
I'm afraid that my answer is not going to make anybody happy. When we start talking about the abduction phenomenon, the evidence seems to take us in the direction it being terrestrially based, which means there's not aliens involved. I think when we take a look at the entirety of the abduction phenomena, we're going to find a multiplicity of answers, one of which might be sleep paralysis, one of which might be delusion, one of which might be vivid dreams, one of which might be hoaxes. I just don't think that the abduction phenomena leads us to the extraterrestrial or to the alien.
Anything else on that? I mean, there's so much avenue we're talking about here, and the avenue pertains to a lot of personnel in the military.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Suggest that the military is involved in the abduction phenomenon. I know it's been out there for a long time. I have just not seen any evidence to support that idea. I have heard a lot of people talk about this, and I know of a couple of people who talked about military abductions who've changed their minds and have decided that they haven't been abducted. I just don't see the abduction phenomenon as taking us, as it's being studied today. Let me rephrase that. Let me put it that way. The way the abduction phenomenon is being studied today is not going to lead us to any answers. It's going to keep us in the dark. And we need to change the way we do abduction research. Russ Estes, Bill Cohn, and I did a book 15 years ago where we said that abduction research had stagnated. And it was doing this that it had been doing 10 years earlier or 15 years earlier. And here we are 15 years down the road, and abduction research hasn't changed at all. They're still doing it the same way, and they have not come up with any answers at all.
All right, so let me ask you this. If evidence were to come that the military, at some level, perhaps in cooperation with the CIA or whatever, had run a program where they abducted people and made them, by whatever means, believe that they had been abducted by aliens, if the evidence of that were to come out or were to become available somewhere, what's your stance personally? Would you be willing to go on radio and say, yep, it happened, here's the documentation, here's what happened? Or would you feel compelled to sort of defend the military?
I think if we have evidence that suggests that the military has somehow been involved in this, then yes, we have to come out and explain it. I think if you take a look at something much less or much more benign, which is the cover-up of information about UFOs that the Air Force participated in since 1947, I'm one of the greatest advocates of suggesting that they have been hiding information from the public, and we have the documentation to prove it. I'm merely suggesting that when we reach into the abduction phenomena, there is virtually no evidence that the abductions as they're being described are taking place, whether it's by aliens or the military, and the evidence right now simply does not exist.
Are you, I know you are. I know for sure that you're familiar with MK Ultra and the Church Senate hearings, Senator Frank Church, and all the stuff about MK Ultra that came out. A lot of that stuff that came out existed anecdotally and was talked about on talk shows for a number of years before it actually came out. The establishment line on it was, well, our government wouldn't be involved in something like that. And, you know, we didn't do it. It didn't exist. And this person's nuts. And then Frank Church and his committee forced it into the open. And it was real. So there's a possibility that some of this might surface in some hearings someday. We have to take a break, and caller, if you'll hang on, we'll get you first after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Dr. Kevin Randall. And we have a caller on hold. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ron from Santa Fe, Texas.
Hello, Ron.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
The question I have, you all been talking about ufology and religion. I was wondering, in your opinion, do you think that ufology for some people answers the same questions that religion answers for other people, like who am I, where did I come from, why am I here and where am I going? And do you think that's the reason I get so fervid?
What do you think, Dr. Randall?
I think that's possible. I think that's what is possible for a number of people, that certainly it fulfills some kind of a psychological need for them, and that's why they get so wrapped up in it, and that's why they follow specific paths. To draw an analogy with the abduction phenomenon, it shows that that person who believes he or she's been abducted is important. The aliens have sought that person out for special treatment in some fashion, so you can look at it from that point of view. So absolutely there's a component of that to it, and it's why some people become so rabid in their belief structures.
Okay. Now, I was just curious. Just wondering.
Okay. All right, Ron, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know what my big fear is? You're going to get a caller named Kevin, and there's going to be three of us calling Kevin, Kevin this, Kevin that.
It's going to be curious, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, we are just about to the end of the show. We are on final approach, and so if you're going to call, now is the time. 623-444-5889 is the number. And let me check very quickly to see. We just had a flash message. Nope, that came from the USA. And so it was automatically deleted. That happens, folks. All right. To the telephones, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oh, hang on, caller. Let me push the correct line. Okay, now you're on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stuart in Illinois.
Yeah, Stuart.
I'd like to ask Dr. Randall if he has done any research on USOs or any books on them.
The only thing I've done is the Sag Harbor case. I mean, I've looked into that quite a bit, and of course, it was Chris Stiles and Don Ledger who gave me the majority of the information about that. But when you start talking about that, that's basically the extent of my research into USOs.
And my next question.
Yeah,
you're
go ahead.
In Des Moines, Iowa, aren't you?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, we've got time for one more call. If you're calling and you want to call right now, we can do that. Okay. But you just gotta come in like right now. Well, I think a good way to sum up here. For the evening, I'll do my summation, is I'm not opposed to people having beliefs. What I'm opposed to is people confusing belief with knowledge. And it's just not. Belief is not knowledge. And it's fine to have a belief, but understand that it is a belief. And investigation is going to show us whether that belief is accurate or not. And once the evidence is in, if it shows that belief is not accurate, if you've got intellectual integrity, then at that point you need to give up that belief and go with what the evidence shows. It was once a belief, folks, that the earth was flat. And that's what modern science at that time was saying. And that's what the church said. And people who believed the earth was round were heretics. But it didn't matter, did it? It really didn't matter what somebody believed. It didn't change the fact the earth was round. Okay, Dr. Randall?
I was going to say, I thought the earth was flat, and if you sailed too far to the east, you'd fall off the edge of the planet.
Yeah.
That was my belief.
You totally believe that, huh?
Suppose from the position of evidence. What does the evidence say? What does it take us? What does it show us? If the evidence isn't there, then we've got to reject the idea. We've got to move on to something else. And I think too often in the UFO field, as you say, people get hung up on their belief structures. And if you have evidence contrary to what they want to believe, suddenly you're the bad guy. You're a member of MJ-12. You're a disinformation agent. You're this, you're that. And I think what we need to do to understand UFOs is look at the evidence and see where the evidence takes us and go in that direction rather than in the direction we might want to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree with that. I 100% agree with go with the evidence. And I've said this before, folks, you know, there are things that, you know, I it's very difficult for me to say I believe, but there are things that, you know, for the time, I'll buy it as, yeah, that's that sounds reasonable, you know. And it looks like it connects the right dots and in the right order, and yeah, I'll go with that until I know. But we have to differentiate between the two. One of the things that we know for sure is that what we don't know is gargantuan in size compared to what we do know. What we don't know far outweighs what we do know about everything, everything. And this is why you've heard me say, I don't think there are any such things as laws of physics. They're not laws. Those are just descriptions of our current understanding of how things work, and we know that's subject to change. So those aren't actual laws of physics. It's our current it's descriptions of our current understanding. And all you have to do to see that those can change and change dramatically, drastically, and suddenly is just utter the name Albert Einstein. Up until Albert Einstein, everyone was Newtonian in their physics. But it turns out he was more right than Newton. Does it mean he's absolutely right? Probably not. He didn't think so. And someone, some really smart person's going to come along and step right over the current laws of physics one day with a whole new understanding of how it works. Dr. Kevin Randall, I want to thank you for being with us. If you will, remain on the telephone with me for a moment as we bring this in for a landing.
Sounds good to me, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, folks, get over to Amazon and take a look at all those books over there by Dr. Kevin Randall. Grab you some of those. They're good reading. And they are based on very thorough investigation. Also, let me remind you that we cannot survive without listener support. If you think what we're doing here is valuable and you think it's important for us to continue, then we need you to stand with us. We're 100% listener supported, and without you, we might not be here tomorrow. So be sure you, nobody but you can fix that. So be sure you click on my website where it says join. It's only going to cost you $7.50 a month, and then you get the archives, you get to watch the shows live, lots and lots of stuff. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.